We're looking this morning at Jehovah Shalom, Lord our peace. What happened here in Judges, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. That seems repetitive, doesn't it? As we go through these books of the Old Testament, we'll see this over and over. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they were given over to someone, the Midianites. And they cried to the Lord because they picked on them. And they would camp around them. And as soon as their harvest would come in, they'd go in and take it. And as soon as their cattle gave birth, they'd go in and take it. They was using them. Using them. And it says that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And so they cried out to God. They cried out to God. And God sent His prophet to them. An unnamed prophet. And they said, do you know what the Lord did? The Lord brought you out of Egypt. And He's took you out of the hands of this one. And He's took you out of the hands of that one. He's kept you here and He's kept you there. Over and over again, in all these wars and all these skirmishes and all these battles and fights, the Lord has prevailed and He has brought you out. And then He spoke to Gideon. And He said, Gideon, you are going to go out and fight these men, these people that are against Israel. And He said, I ain't able. How am I going to do that? He said, I'm the weakest of my brethren. I'm the baby of the family. I'm the youngest, and my father's poor. We don't come from good stock. How am I going to fight these? He said, you'll defeat them as if it were one man. You're going to swing your sword one time, and all those thousands upon thousands are going to be over with. You're going to go to war, Gideon. You're going to go to war. It says in verse 21 that before this, Gideon wanted to bring a sacrifice. This angel of the Lord was speaking to him, and so he brought a kid. You know what a kid is? Those are my children. I just call them kiddos sometimes. A kid's a baby goat. He brought a lamb, and he brought unleavened cakes up there. That's what he brought to this angel of the Lord. It says in verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That flesh, that unleavened bread was established, was laid on the rock. That was the rock, wasn't it? And that fire consumed it. It was accepted. That's what it was. And when Gideon, verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, this wasn't just some prophet standing in front of him, this is an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Face to face. In the beginning of this, he calls it capital L, lowercase O-R-D. He says, my Lord. Did the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, did they send you? Who do you think this was? This is Christ speaking to him, isn't it? That's the angel of the Lord that's come to him. And this is reference here. He said, I've seen God. That's what I've seen, and I ain't going to live. Speaking of Exodus 33:20, no man shall live and see my face, God told Moses. I'll make my goodness pass before you, but you ain't going to see my face. And Gideon said, uh-oh. This is God's man. This is the Lord. It says in verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. You afraid? Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord our peace. Gideon's going to be sent to war. You're going to war. And before that war commences, you're going to see Christ and Him crucified. He's going to speak peace unto your heart. Before there's a battle, peace is established. Do you see that? Before you go to war, that ain't until chapter 7 he defeats the Midianites. Before you go to war, he's going to make you know he is your peace. He's your peace. That's a lot better going to war that way, isn't it? We've been looking through these names. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Reah, Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. We talk a lot about those names, don't we? Because that's our necessity. Do you need provision? Do you need your bills paid? Jehovah Jireh. We can talk about that, can't we? You sick? You got sniffles? You got a bad back? You got a bum knee? Something wrong with you? Lord, healeth thee. We know about that, don't we? I don't know what to do. You know, do you have good wisdom as to what you ought to do, what we ought to do next? We're going to need God to lead us. We need a shepherd, don't we? Jehovah Rapha. I ain't got no righteousness. He must be my righteousness. I need Him with me. I feel so alone. I need the Lord present. We talk a lot about these names. But what about the Lord our peace? Are we peaceful? Am I peaceful? Am I at peace most of the time? I ought to be. I ought to be. What if I was in the middle of war? I ought to be peaceful. I was talking on the way here. There's a war movie. It has a real good depiction. They're just about to fast rope into a city and take a building. And they said, 2 minutes out. And it was so accurate, that fellow took his book and closed it and put it in his pocket. If there's a lull in the battle, you want to go play spades? We got time to get a card game in. You get used to it. You get peaceful in it, don't you? And then, oh, there's a battle. But at all times, whether there's a lull in the battle or we're right in the middle of bullets flying, we ought to be peaceful. I ought to have peace at all times. So many people cry, peace, peace, where there is no peace. This world shook up. It's a raging sea. Oh no. And gets tore all to pieces. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, they said this. Calm down. Knock it off. Go sit underneath a shade tree and eat a ham sandwich. Maurice told me. Chill out. Calm down. Many of those who profess to believe God, they profess to believe God, they have little peace. Very little peace. Where did the peace go? If God saved you and He gave you peace in His Son, where'd it go? I'm going to give us an illustration. My pastor told some funny things here and there. And it's good to keep our attentions, keep us awake, keep us paying attention. There was this old man and a woman that was driving a truck. He had an old 79 Ford, his bench seat. She's sitting over by the door and she's just getting on him, just henpecking him. She says, you know, we used to be so happy together. We used to sit side by side in this truck every time we went to town. And he just kept taking it and taking it and taking it. And finally he looked over. She said, what happened to us? He said, I ain't the one that moved. You're the one that slid over. Where'd your peace go? God hasn't moved. If my peace is gone, I've been the one that moved. That's simple, isn't it? Paul begins all 12 of his epistles. Grace be unto you and peace. That's a good way to start. Peace. You about to go to war? Talk about peace. Talk about that. There's a lot said about grace from pulpits, but where's the peace? Where's the peace? We understand these facts. We understand these functions. I need peace in my life. You need peace? Three questions for you. Where's true peace found? These ain't complicated, is it? You can probably answer these for me. We need to see it. Where's true peace found? What are the results? Ooh, what are the results of finding that peace? We met face to face and we're one on one with this peace and we have it. What's the results? What's that produced? And how is this peace preserved? How can it be maintained? What can you and I do? What ought we to do? What ought we to do? Out of that debt of love, out of that debt of gratitude, after knowing God, what ought you to do? What ought I to do? Those letters Paul wrote, he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does grace come or peace come from? From God our Father. Same place grace comes from. Peace comes from Him and from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one. Where's peace coming from? Them. God's our provider. He's our banner. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's our shepherd. And He's our peace. He's our peace. Our great Almighty God was manifest in the flesh. He was revealed to us. All has come to pass in a body. In a body, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him, in that man that walked this earth 2,000 years ago, that hung on the cross, is risen, seated at the right hand of God right now, interceding for His people, right now we have peace in Him. For in Him we have peace. We sing, come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing. What is our blessings? We'll come from Him. He's the fountain. What's a fountain? That's where water comes from. What about blessings? He's a fountain of blessing. You're going to have blessings, it's going to come from Him. We get that, don't we? He's the source of it. Christ is the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Shalom. But not to all Adam's race. Not to everybody. I can't go out and tell every man underneath the sun, God loves you. He's at peace with you. I can't say that. He's at peace with His people, those that put in Christ. I can't go out and cry, peace, peace, where there is no peace. How is Christ our peace? How is He our peace? Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Christ is our peace because He came into this world for His people. He came to be our incarnate Redeemer. God sent His Son into this world to be our peace. God became a man. You and I could have peace. His people could have peace. He's the King of peace. And His coming into this world brought peace. What kind of peace did Christ come to bring? Was it between nations? Luke chapter 2. Did Christ come to bring peace between nations to end Ukraine and Russia going to war? No, that ain't it. What about neighbors? Well, their tree keeps growing on my yard, and now Christ has come, so I ain't mad about that tree no more. That's not what He came. He came to bring peace between God and man. Between God and man. We need to be reconciled. We need peace. Why? Because there's a war going on. We're at odds. We're at enmity. We need peace. Why? Our mind is enmity. It's hostility. It's war with the holy God we offended. Have you ever been that way? You ever been at war with God? If you've never been at war with God, you're at war with Him right now and you don't know it. And I pray God have mercy on your souls and He would show you what we are. We're fighting Him tooth and toenail. People say, well, I ain't that mad. Well, you can be in a war and not be screaming and yelling and blood all over you. Still be at war, can't you? He says He is angry with the wicked every day. Why we need peace? He's angry with the wicked. Sin must be punished. People don't say it much in our day, do they? You see God is love on a bumper sticker. You don't see God's just. I'm going to get in a bumper sticker business. God's going to punish sin. You're going to meet your maker. The one you offended. He said, the fool shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. He's holy. We have a holy God. We need peace with Him. You got Luke 2? Luke 2:11. Here's how we can have peace. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace did not come until He came. Did you get that? When did peace come on earth? Right there. When He came. When He came. If God has always loved everybody, if He had always just been the jolly old man, the man upstairs, I despise that. Brother Paul Mahan, I'll send it out to you. Paul Mahan had a good article about people flippantly call His name Jesus. How Jesus did this and Jesus did that. John laid on his head on his bosom. And he said, Lord. There's a reverence there. I didn't call my daddy Paul. If I'd come in the house, hey, Doug. I had Paul and Doug, depending on which city he was living in at the time. If I'd come in and called him by his first name, I'd have had all the spit out of my mouth. He'd have slapped it clean out. Who are you talking to, son? Call Him Lord. Because He is. We need peace with Him. If God's loved everybody, if He's been jolly with everybody, if He's the man upstairs and He wanted to save everybody, how come we need peace? That doesn't sound like war, does it? That doesn't sound like enmity, does it? You can stand and say peace and you can say goodwill towards men when you stand in Christ only. If you're standing on His word only, that's the only way you could say it. That's the only place you could beckon to someone and say, come to this city of refuge. Come to where there's walls and there's peace. Because outside of Him, there is no peace. We must be in Him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. He's our peace because He's our representative. He was made flesh. He was made under the law. The one who gave the law was made under the law. And he obeyed that law. And he put away the curse of the law for his people. Did you know we're under the curse of the law? Do people know that? He was made a curse for us. And thereby made peace before the law for us. Do we know that? Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What's going to dwell in him? All the fullness. Peace, love, joy, salvation, the forgiveness of sins. All the names of the Lord. All of our provision. All of our banner. It's going to be in him. It's going to dwell in him. And having made peace. How could he make peace? How could this be possible? We have peace against the Holy God we offended. Through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile. Well, I thought we was already reconciled. I thought God loved everybody. No, we're apart. There's a gulf fixed. To reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in heaven, or things in earth, or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. You that were at war with God. By wicked works, now hath he reconciled. Where did he do that? In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Where's peace found? Christ alone. What's your peace? It ain't what, it's a who. That person. The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. Who he is and what he accomplished. They go hand in hand, don't they? That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us. That great wall was between us. That law we offended was between us. That veil was between us and the holiest of holies, where God meets with sinners, and Christ rent it. He tore it down. He brought peace by coming to this earth, going to the cross, rising from the grave, a victorious, completed Savior, the captain of our salvation. And our warfare is over. It's accomplished. It's done. He gave us peace as our prophet. He spoke it to our hearts, didn't he? Your warfare is accomplished. I can say that. God has to make it effectual. He speaks. You're going to have condemnation with God? You're going to be at war with God? No, it's accomplished. He speaks peace as our prophet to our heart. He speaks peace as our high priest. Right now, you in a bad spot, you got a bad situation happening, I bet in 3 seconds it ain't going to be at hand. Right now, Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for his people. What's he doing? He's establishing peace right now. He has established peace. He speaks peace to our hearts. And as our high priest, he intercedes for us right now. And as our king. He's Melchizedek, wasn't he? Melchizedek was the king of Shalom. He was the king of peace. The battle he fought is won. The battle our king fought against sin, against death, against Satan, and against hell, it's won. It's won. Our peace is not Christ plus anything. First confidence that you have in something other than Christ alone, you have no confidence. Not Christ plus our strength, or Christ plus our faithfulness, or Christ plus our praying, or plus our doing. No, he alone is our peace. That's where peace can be found. In him. What's the result of finding Christ? I said, what's the result of finding peace? He's our peace, isn't he? What happens? What results when we find him? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. No person has the right to claim peace with God outside of Christ. People say, have you made your peace with God? Or I've made my peace with God. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Christ is the peacemaker. Our King's the peacemaker. What's the result of true peace found in Christ? We have communion with God. We've got 4 points. They'll all begin with C's. I like that. Keeps it in my head right. Communion. We have communion with God because of Christ our peace. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. and their sins and iniquities, all those products of war, I will remember no more. Now where the remission of sin is, there's no more offering for sin. When those sins have been remitted, there's been remission for them. They've been separated. They remember no more. There's no more offering from them. The offering's been accepted. It's over. Having therefore brethren, not all people, not everybody. What does he say? Having therefore brethren. He's speaking to his people in there. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of our Almighty God. Because of Him, we can have communion with God. We can enter into the, with boldness into the holy, holiest of holies, where God meets with us. We can be in the presence of Almighty God now. We didn't have that before. We didn't have that. We have boldness to enter into the place where God meets His people. We can enter in peace with boldness. There's only one place on this earth I have complete boldness to do anything I want. And that's in my home. If I go in and I want to sit on the floor, I'll sit on the floor. If I want to go in and open a cabinet up, look through it, I'll go in and open a cabinet up and look through it. It's mine. I can. It's rightfully so for me to be there. I can wear pajamas if I want to. Do what I want. If I go to your house, you have a home. I don't go through your cabinets. That ain't right. People need to be told that. I feel weird. You go look for a glass, get something to drink, and it ain't that. You're like, oh, now I got to open another cabinet. I don't want to. They'll think I'm rifling through their stuff. I wouldn't walk through your house wearing pajamas. That ain't my home. I'm bold in my home, isn't it? That's boldness. That's boldness. To understand and have just a full assumption and security that it's right for me to be here. That's what that word means right here. We can come into the presence of God. We don't come in our pajamas. We don't come haphazardly. We come in the presence of God because of Christ accomplishing our peace with the Father in His own blood. I have fears about dying of how the operation of that will take place. I just assume not fall. I don't like falling. I'm not tremendously fond of small places now. I get a little claustrophobic. But the actual dying, I have no fear. I'm the Lord's. I'm bought with a price. It's all right. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but I'm going to be with Him. And He's our forerunner, and I trust Him. However, He has set things up just right. That's done. I believe Him. I trust Him. I understand. I have boldness to die. You'll see somebody that don't have peace, they're scared to death to die. And they're scared to death this world. They're scared to death this government. They're scared to death of things that's flying above us and the things dug underneath us. All around us. They're terrified because they have no peace. So what? Calm down. Relax. Have peace. If you believe Him, have peace. I need reminded that often. He says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. If that's not the only cause you have to come in God's presence, stay away from Him. As long as you can. You take all the pills you can to stay alive longer. You have all the surgeries you can to stay alive longer. You eat all the right food you can to stay alive longer because you're about to meet a holy God you offended. And you're going to stand alone. If you don't come by His blood, you're still an enemy. You're still fighting God. What's the second result of this peace? We have communion with God, but we have confidence too, don't we? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I got a pretty good idea, and this is what so-and-so told me. He said, I know whom I believe. He was a great apostle. He was a great writer. He wrote the bulk of the New Testament, didn't he? He was a great preacher. He could lay on a dead man one time and raise him. He could do all these things. But he never spoke about that, did he? Paul, an apostle. I'm an apostle. No, he said, my name's Paul. Hey, buddy. It was fine, wasn't it? Why? Because Christ's blood is on him. That's all he had. He knew who he believed. Only that Christ was his life, his hope, and his peace. That's why. David, that great warrior, that great king and leader, he wrote the hymnal for the church, didn't he? Great bulk of it. He wrote most of the Psalms. He said, although my house be not so with God, on his last words, his dying deathbed, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. Who made it? He made it. Ordered in all things and sure. Are you on rocky ground, David? Mm-mm. I have peace in that. I have peace in the covenant that God made and He ordered and He made it sure. I can have peace in that. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. That's all I want. Him. I want the Lord my peace. We have a confidence for that. That's confidence in it. To say that. I know it. I know. I'm confident. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand at the latter day upon this earth." Do you know that? I do. He's coming. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but He's coming. He's going to come to this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, I'm going to go in the ground. If the Lord don't come, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried like He's buried. Worms are going to eat this body up. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. There's a resurrection. How could Job believe that? How could you believe that? Christ our peace said so. He said so. Is that good enough for you? Whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. Well, I'm going to know somebody's going to be there that day. I ain't worried about them. I'm going to see. Though my reins be consumed within me. Someone who truly has peace, peace with God, peace in the heart, all of their confidence is in the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom. Our confidence is in Him. Paul said, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." No confidence in the flesh. David said in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." What was his confidence? "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will. How can I be so confident in those things? He said so. He's established the peace. I didn't make my peace with him. He made his peace with me. For me. He made peace with God for me. The results of having peace in Christ. Christ is our own. We've been reconciled to God. There's no condemnation. We have communion with Him now. We have confidence in His blood, in His person, in His work, in His Word. What He says. I believe Him. That's what He says. You think it's going to come to pass? Should we shore up our bets and buy some insurance on the side? I believe Him. I believe Him. And we have contentment. Turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes here in Philippians 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He said, I'm thankful they took care of Paul. They gave him a gift. He said, "Before you didn't have the opportunity to, now you do. Not that I speak in respect of want." You're taking good care of me, but I'm not talking about I'm in want of things. "For I have learned." Do you ever learn anything? Some people know everything from birth. You ever learn anything? That means there's a time you didn't know it. Right? When was the time you didn't know it? Before you learned. Paul had learned. Did this great apostle just pop out knowing everything? He had to learn. What did the Lord teach him? "I have learned," verse 11, "in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I know both how to be abased. I know how to be low. I've been knocked down in the dirt a lot. And I know how to abound. I ain't a rookie no more. A little bit of success and a little bit of people say, "Well, that sure was a good message." And the old preacher said one time, he said, "I know Satan just told me." Not in that person, but yeah, I know how to abound. Penalty, I'm thankful for it. I hope the Lord blesses the messages, but it ain't gonna hurt. You ain't gonna get underneath my skin and puff me up. Lord's learned me some things. "Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed." He's instructed. "Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need." How can he do all these things? How can you handle that? I can't. Can you? Let me answer it for you. No, you can't. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Is that contentment? Well, what about whenever it's real bad? Well, I got Christ. You know, I've bowed to the Lord in Europe and in Asia, North America, and maybe in years to come on some other continents. Does it matter where I am? If I'm eating a Vegemite sandwich or I'm having a steak in New York City, it don't make a difference. We have Him. He's our peace. That's who we have. We have contentment because He is our peace. It's a person. "How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me." The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in Him, December is as pleasant as May. What about the seasons? It don't make a difference. Content with beholding His face, to all my all His pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. It's snowing. I don't care. He's on His throne. He made it snow. While blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear. Don't mean nothing. And prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. Samuel Rutherford was imprisoned. He was cast out to Aberdeen, Scotland for preaching. And he ended a letter to a friend. He signed it from the Lord's palace in Aberdeen. You in prison? It's God's palace. That's what this is. Look at them bars. Lord's keeping everything bad away from me. I'm in His prison. I went to get that exact quote, looked up, and it was on a website, and their website's closed on the Lord's Day because they go on about keeping the Sabbath. I'm like, well, I'm reading that. I'd be better off reading something what God's people has to say. Communion, confidence, contentment. What's the last C? Commitment. Commitment. If you can meet with God now, you've been reconciled to Him. You have confidence in Christ our peace and Him alone. And you're content. Are you okay with that? I wouldn't have it any other way. You're going to be committed to Him. Everything's rosy till now. Everything's theological facts can be proved by Scripture. Here's where it hits a believer. We have commitment to Him. Commitment's easy when things are easy. Isn't it? You got to bear your brother's burdens. You got to bear burden. It ain't a feather. It's a burden. Some work's got to take place, don't it? There's going to be some achy backs. Contentment is easy when things are easy, but commitment is proven when the battle's raging. When the trial seems completely overwhelming, that's when commitment will be proven. Y'all remember Nadab and Abihu? They went to worship God with strange fire, and men get wrapped upside and down about what the strange fire was. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. God said He wouldn't take it, and He killed them. He killed them. Moses said to Aaron, "This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. I'm going to be exalted. I'm going to be praised by those that come to me by my Son." That's what He's saying. By Christ alone. You come to me by Christ, that's how I'm going to be glorified. And before all the people, will I be glorified. And you ain't going to come to God any other way. And Aaron held His peace. That got a hold of me this week. I hope it gets hold of you. You ever heard that expression? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. How can I shut up? God just killed both your sons. Just took them. They offended Him. Well, now, Lord, I don't think it's been right. Maybe we can talk to Him again. Maybe we can send Lazarus from life to death to go talk to Him instead of Lazarus and a rich man back to the world, huh? Did He bargain with God? He held His peace. He was committed to God. That means hush, doesn't it? I mean, hold your peace. Shut up. Stop talking. But also, how can you do that? To hold Christ our peace. To cling to Him. How is there some way I keep my mouth shut? As Henry always told us, he said, preach the gospel and leave folks alone. Trust Him. Get up, preach the gospel, and leave them alone. God will deal with them. I'm going to have to cling to Him to hold my peace. And not explain everything away and get down the weeds and all that nonsense. That's what the old flesh does. I need to hold Christ my peace. Job said, though He slay me, you going to die? Alright, there's only a handful of people ever translated. I'm going to be slayed one day. Either through a heart attack or a bus or whatever means the Lord's appointed, that's fine. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Yet will I trust Him. Results of peace in Christ are communion, confidence, contentment, and commitment. How is that maintained? How is that maintained? John 16. John chapter 16. Verse 32. John 16, 32. Our Lord's speaking here, and He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Why did he say that? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, in this world you and I live in right now, you shall have tribulation. I don't get along with the world. No kidding. You ain't of it. I'd be worried if I did. So he told unbelievers, he said, the world can't hate you. You can straddle both sides of the fence and be fine with it. He told these, he says, you're going to have trouble. I'm saying these things so you can have peace. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to be dismayed. You're going to have times where you don't have peace. And you're shook up because you look into this world. And he says, end of verse 33, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What maintains our peace? What's our surety in having peace? We know who our peace is. We know the results of peace. How's it going to stay that way? Christ overcome the world. He's done that so that we could have peace, that you might have peace. Isn't that something? The Lord our peace gives us peace. The Lord that provides, provides. He's God. Our God is God. He gives peace. I hope I can have more peace. I hope you can have more peace. That's what the Lord's done. We know that, right? But now we ain't jellyfish. The Lord's going to save us in the heart, but it's going to go through our head, isn't it? We're going to walk this world with some understanding. He's going to grow us. He's going to teach us. And what can I do when I'm forgetting these things? Put on the whole armor of God. Well, guess what? You don't have armor on. IBAs and flak jackets and helmets, they get heavy. Swords are heavy, ain't they? Turn over to Psalm 37. I'll be as quick as I can for you. Psalm 37. The Lord's our peace. The Lord maintains our peace. He's given us this peace. Psalm 37. There's 8 precepts in this psalm. I was reading them out loud last night for me and for you. I'm going to read them to you. And I hope to read them the way my pastor when I was young read them to me. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers. I have people that want to consume me. They're coming after me. What am I going to do? Fret not. I'm fretting. Quit it. Knock it off. Quit fretting. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. First thing we do, don't fret. How can I do that? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Who we trust in? The Lord. The Lord our provider. The Lord our banner. The Lord that heals me. The Lord that's my peace. Fret not. You worried? Knock it off. Trust God. Trust Him. Do good. Isn't that doing good? Trust in Him. Trust in His Word. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We're going to be happy with things in this world. I'm tickled to death, my children. I'm happy where I live. I like this area. I like the car I drive. There's a lot of things I can be happy in. Someday I'll have grandchildren. I guarantee I'm going to turn upside down and be tickled to death over them grandchildren. I'll not be mean to them, but delight thyself also in the Lord. You want true peace? If y'all delight in me, I'm going to let you down. If I delight in my grandchildren, them grandchildren will disappoint me at some point, ain't they? Delight in the Lord. You won't be disappointed. You'll have peace. You'll have peace. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. There's commitment. I believe Him. Good. Now follow Him. Believe Him. You have faith. Obey. Good. Commit yourself to Him. Don't commit yourself to other things. Commit to Him. It says in verse 7, rest in the Lord. We're going to fret not. We're going to trust in Him. We're going to delight in the Lord. Commit to the Lord and rest in Him. Rest in Him. Why can we rest in Him? We have peace. We have peace. There ain't nobody coming over the fence. The boogeyman ain't going to get you. Sasquatch ain't coming out of the woods. Lay down and take a nap. It's fine. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Something's going to go with that too, isn't it? Something's going to go hand in hand with that. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. That's speaking to me. I'm probably the best person I know about getting mad. I can do it faster than anybody. My blood pressure will shoot up faster than anything. cease from anger. How could I cease from anger? Vengeance is of the Lord. Well, there's a battle that needs to be fought. It's already won. He's our Lord, our peace. Jehovah Shalom, isn't he? Look down verse 27. Here's the seventh one. Verse 27. Psalm 37, 27. Depart from evil and do good. Turn from it. Turn from it. We know better, don't we? So many evil things that we look to in this world and we look to in ourselves. Turn from it. Depart from it. And do good. What was doing good? We just read it. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Eighth one. Verse 34. All these things. Fret not. Trust Him. Commit to Him. Depart from evil. Psalm 37, 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. Wait on Him. Wait. What are we waiting? He's coming. He's coming. Wait on Him. Is He working? Of course He is. Is He providing? Of course He is. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. And He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. He promised it. And He said, you're going to watch it. You're going to see it happen. This ain't going to be done in a corner. It ain't going to be, No, you're going to see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I've seen this happen. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Who's our perfect man? Christ is, isn't he? Mark him. Cling to him. Trust him. Commit to him. And behold the upright. For the end of that man, the end of that man is peace. Is peace. I pray that's our end. Is peace. I pray that's our end. It is for those that are in Christ, because He is our peace. And He's our exceeding great reward. It's Him. He's our peace. I pray that's our end, but I pray that's our day too. We walk in this world. We live in this world, don't we? Tomorrow's Monday. 8 a.m.'s are coming if the Lord don't come back. I pray we can have peace then. On Tuesday evening at 1:47 p.m., I pray we can see Christ our peace. Jehovah Shalom. See Him exalted high and lifted up. That'd be a good day, wouldn't it? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this word. Lord, thank You for Your names. Thank You for allowing us to see Your might and Your wisdom and Your power, Your all-sufficient grace. Lord, thank You for the blood of Your Son. Thank You for being just. Thank You for being a holy God. Thank You for justifying wicked sinners. What great compassion You have. Lord, allow us to tell others about this, where mercy and peace can be found. In Christ our Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, forgive us for what we are. Forgive us our unbelief. Forgive us our hard hearts. And be with us as You promised You will be. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.